welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. If you're looking for John Deere products, go see Pape Machinery. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They've got tractors, mowers, all the implements you can imagine, in stock and ready for delivery. Yeah.
I mean, just thought there should be some music.
Well, thanks for that. Maybe you could hum a little song in the background. They have a full stock parts department, service department, and they can work on all manner of tractors, not just John Deere. So give them a call. Their phone number is 226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you have it.
All right. So you're back. If you have missed the first hour, you're going to want to go back to the archive and pull the commercial-free recording that'll be there later this afternoon at wethepeopleradio.us. And also on there, I have posted the address if you want to send some support to the legal effort on this case. You don't have to live in California. You could be anywhere. And so let me put that out again while we have not being cut off by the news. You make your check out to Pecan, like the nuts. We made that a long time ago. We thought it was funny. It was during the whole Acorn thing during the Obama administration. So we called it Patriots Educating Concerned Americans Now. And that became Pecan. So the address for them is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, three words, Suite B, like boy, Redding, California, 96003. So that's 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B. Zip code is 96003. And like I said, just posted right there on the site for you. And if you put 2A lawsuit down in the memo, Second Amendment lawsuit, something to that effect, it will go to the right spot or include a note with that. And if you have any questions, our phone numbers and emails and stuff are on the site. You can just shoot us a message and we'll get that cleared up for you. Want to make sure and draw your attention, the one thing on the site that you may want to go see, I think, if you live in Northern California, is that there is a Siskiyou County Sheriff's Posse and the Second Amendment Rights Group that are putting on January 29th, 2022, an event at the Best Western Miners Inn at the Convention Center there in Wairika. It's $50 per person. You can get a table for $300, which includes a package of raffle tickets, and it'll be really fun. And there'll be awesome food because Dave Tyler's doing prime rib. I just had some of Dave's prime rib 3 weeks ago. It was really good. So tickets, you can get a hold of Mark at 530-227-6729 or his wife Cindy at 530-227-6728. And his email actually is McBear, McBair, at iCloud.com. So if you missed any of that or you want to print that out, it's right there on the site for today, January 2nd, 2022. And if you're listening to this after that date, the event you might have missed, but the lawsuit will continue. So all the rest of it is still good. Okay. Anything I missed about the event, Mark, that you want to plug? Before we run out of time again?
No, that's great. And it's doors open at 5.
Oh, you have the time.
If you buy tickets and live out of the area, we'll hold the tickets at will call and just pick them up at the door, so it's no big deal. But we're going to have lots of guns and lots of cool stuff to raffle off an auction. And please come and support it. It's not only fun, but you can have an evening with like-minded people. And we had a really good time last time and did well for the lawsuit. So what I'm trying to do with this is I'm trying to get ahead of it because I think there will be resolution in this case this year. As soon as the New York Rifle and Pistol Association adjudication comes out, that is going to affect California because this is the fun part. Our permitting scheme is so very close to New York's, it's ridiculous. And if New York's permitting scheme is struck down by Supreme Court dicta, then ours will be impacted or dispensed with altogether. Now, like I started to say, I don't think the justices of the Supreme Court have the political will to simply say a constitutional carry everywhere in the United States, even though open carry is unremarkable and lawful in 45 states, and constitutional carry is lawful in 21 states, with four more about to join that crowd, hopefully this year, maybe this year or next year. So half the states in the United States will have constitutional carry. But states like California and New York are basically communist entities, and we need to force the issue. So my attorney asked the judge, aren't you bound by Supreme Court dictate? And clearly, in Heller, Wren, McDonald, and so on, you're bound to find for us and in summary judgment. In other words, there's no evidence required, no testimony required. The state's already admitted what they're doing. We say it's wrong, and you need to agree with us because the Supreme Court tells you to. And that's what, in essence, she was asking the judge. And the judge lost her junk. She said, young lady, do you mean to tell me that I am bound to follow the opinions of the Supreme Court over the Ninth Circuit opinion? And my attorney said, well, yes, Your Honor, that's exactly what I'm saying. And the judge lost it. She said, I find that statement dangerous and frivolous, and I'm considering taking action against you based on that statement.
Wow.
Now, when you read the Constitution, Article 3 is kind of a funny little thing. It defines the courts, Article 3 of the United States Constitution, and it says, all jurisdiction shall be essentially, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember what it says exactly, but all jurisdiction over matters of equity and law arising under the Constitution. In other words, no court has the right to change the Constitution. They're only allowed to rule on things that arise as a result of the Constitution. They already don't do that, but anyway. And that jurisdiction shall be vested in one Supreme Court and such other inferior courts as Congress may establish from time to time. So that tells me that the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court, and all other courts are inferior to that, and as such, they need to take their direction from the Supreme Court, which is established by Constitution, and other courts are simply enactments of Congress and can be unenacted anytime they want to. Hmm. In other words, an act of Congress could eliminate federal courts.
Wow.
But yet they ignore the Supreme Court every single day, and they're proud of it.
Yeah, that blows my mind. I mean, what do they think the Supreme Court does if they're not the Supreme Court of the land? How does this judge figure they can outrule or overrule the Supreme Court?
Well, they figure it because they get away with it every single day, and these federal courts and state courts, by the way, steal your liberty every single day, and no one seems to be too uptight about it. So I
That's
think
incredible.
That this New York case, this Bruin case, is really a watershed. Now, the Supreme Court's avoided the big question of constitutional carry in the sense that when New York Rifle and Pistol Association brought the case, it was specifically about open carry. And the Supremes rephrased the question. They took it upon themselves to rephrase the question so that it would reflect more on the concealed carry type of permit scheme and the May issue vein of that permitting scheme. So I believe that we have enough indication to say that they won't have the backbone to simply fall back on the Constitution and be bound by, in what Jefferson referred to as, bound by the chains of the Constitution. They won't do that. I think they're too afraid of the Democrats and court packing. But what I believe they will do is they'll remand the case and strike the May issue aspect of carry permits, and we will have a shall issue regime in the end. But even when New York Rifle and Pistol wins their case, that's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for all the slave states in the nation, like California and New York and some other states, Delaware and some others. It is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. We still have to press the case. We still have to go into court ourselves, and we still have to have a ruling from the judge based upon that case. And the other aspect of the case that will help us maybe more than anything, but that's open to interpretation yet, is the Supreme Court is going to ban the practice that the Ninth Circuit and the state of California conveniently uses to steal your liberty, and that is the two-step approach. First, they ask, the first question they ask in these cases is, does it burden the right itself? And the answer is always yes, because the only reason you'd sue them is because they're burdening the right. And then the second aspect, the second step is, even though the right may be burdened, is it a sufficient case for the state to have a reason which would outweigh the reasonableness of you continuing to exercise the right? So in other words, you have the right to keep and bear arms. Everybody knows it. Everybody admits it. But the right that the state possesses to enact the magic public safety card, in other words, it is a violation of public safety for you, a lawful individual, to exercise the Second Amendment right. And it is the right of the people to feel safe, and the government to provide that feeling to them, and that right outweighs your right to exercise the Second Amendment. And here's the problem for the state's case. Governments don't have rights. Governments have never had rights. Governments are inanimate objects. Nowhere in the Constitution of California or in the Penal Code does it mention the word right when it's associated with government. Rights can only be assigned to human beings, which are people. Although PETA wants animals to have rights, and that may come.
And rivers.
But for right now, only people have rights, and governments can't have them. So that premise is flawed on its face, and especially flawed facially and as applied to the people. You have no right to feel safe. The government has no right to give you the feeling of safety because it can't be done by government, and we know why. And so our case has a lot of merit just based on the as-applied challenge as well as the facial challenge to the Second Amendment, which is a clear infringement of the right to keep and bear arms. But yet, even though New York Rifle and Pistol will win that case, and they're going to win, we will still have to take our case to court and use that as precedent. And then the judge will have to award us the victory on that. So what I'm trying to do is raise enough money so that this summer, when the New York Rifle and Pistol decision comes out, we'll already have the money to get in there and hammer them in court. And I think that people are being so generous about this. I think we can pull it off, especially with the event coming up. I believe that we can. And it is really important for us in the North State to deliver this victory. We're always talking about our liberty. We're always talking about wanting our own state so that we can have liberty and we can have freedom and we can do things the way the people want them done, not the way tin pot dictators want them done. But right now, we've never won one of these deals. It would be very important for us to deliver this victory and restore liberty to all the people of California, because then we'd be able to turn to them and say, we've given you a measure of your liberty back, and if you want the rest of it, help us. Help us return to conservative government that is of, by, and for the people and not of, by, and for the elites in government. And once we have a victory under our belt, that next job, which is the most important job, will be a lot easier to do.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it has to be done. Otherwise, because they're coming for more. It isn't like, well, you know, they've stopped eroding our Second Amendment liberties or any of the rest of them, for that matter. And this is as far as they'll go. They'll just keep going. So.
Oh, sure. You give an inch, they'll take a mile, and they've proven that. I can't wait to go get 25 tons of hay with my electric car. I don't think that Tesla has a gooseneck hitch, but even if I had one, I don't know that it would pull 25,000 pounds of hay, and I'm not really sure that I'd want to try it. So I think I'll stick with gas, even if I have to go to Oregon to buy it.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, how far will they go? Because I know that with the ammo ban, you know, we've heard from people that went over to Reno and, you know, different gun shows and stuff like that, and they were stopped because their license plate was photographed in
Cabela's.
Cabela's, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
They've got designs on your rights. I mean, all of them. I think anybody who has not figured that out yet, it hasn't really been paying attention. Mark, we got to take a really quick break. We're going to come right back. I just want to draw people's attention to this event. It would be January 29th, 2022. Starts at 5 o'clock. It's up in Wairika. So if you're anywhere up in that area, plan to go. If you can't go, jump in on the lawsuit and help them. It's a nonprofit organization called Pecan, like the nuts. You can mail your check to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B. That's in Redding, California, 96003. And that is posted on the website at wethepeopleradio.us.
I thank God for my life, and for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who die, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
I think the first time we ever played that song was when you were on with us a really long time ago, way back in.
I'm not going to let my horse drink a perfectly good beer.
Yeah, but we get the whiskey, myself. So it's really, we kind of one up on them.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have the horse's beer.
Okay, well, see, there's something for everyone.
See, that stuff tastes like airplane gas to me, but...
No, that's wine.
Like it. I don't know. Yeah, that too. That's jet fuel, and whiskey is airplane gas.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you would know.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, my God. Like we started goofing off and got everything all derailed. So.
No, I remember what it was.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, no, one important component of the New York v. Bruin case is this, and this is maybe in the end the most important, although these things are always a two-edged sword. All of the justices who were in favor of the Second Amendment, and it's a majority, it may be even six of them, and all of them were championing this premise, and that is that cases regarding enumerated rights cannot be adjudicated based on the two-step tripartite state interest balancing scheme that California, New York, Pennsylvania, and a lot of other states seem to favor, and that the circuit courts have enacted in direct violation with Heller, because Heller banned that principle of the two-step interest balancing. You know, in other words, yes, you have the right, but is it worth it for you to keep the right, or is it more worth it for government to take the right away from you because they raise the public safety card every time? And that the Supreme Court is going to ban. And the reason and how they're going to do that is they're going to insist that cases regarding enumerated rights will be adjudicated based on the text of the amendment, the history and culture at the time the amendment was written. So text, history, and tradition will be the only judgment of an enumerated right. And once that has been satisfied, that's the end of the discussion. It will not go any further. In other words, with Second Amendment cases, it's been shown 25, 30, 40, 50 times that the framers intended to say what they said. It's not very often that people who are writing a constitution or a bill of rights for that constitution say something that they didn't mean to say.
They
just said
slipped
exactly
in there.
What they meant, that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and that the history and tradition of that amendment was that people did carry weapons, both openly and concealed, in their home, out of their home, and wherever else they wanted to go, and that any law banning that practice was contrary to the history and the intent and the text and the tradition of the Constitution and is null and void. So that could be the real open door for us as citizens trying to regain our rights. Now, the problem with those things is that every time you introduce a new legal concept, that concept has to be, you know, every jittle and tot has to be adjudicated again. Well, did they put a comma in after history, or was it after tradition and before history? And well, because they don't have a comma there, they actually meant to say this, even though in plain English they said something else. So we'll have to go through a certain amount of that. But I do believe that the history, text, and tradition will eliminate the ability of states like California to basically invent constitutional dictates as they go along and say that the collective right of the people to ban the individual rights of people within their state takes precedent. We don't live in a collective. We don't live in a beehive. We don't live in a collective society. We live in a society where the individual has rights, and as long as he is not infringing upon the rights of others through illegal activity, those rights are inviolate. And that's the environment we need to get back to if we hope to preserve our republic.
One of the things we see quite often, particularly in California, Mark, is we jump through all the hoops and win a case like this, and then it's immediately appealed and gets kind of stuck in limbo with the Ninth Circuit forever. And we've, I mean, there's numerous laws right now that are hung up, and in particular our ammunition laws, some of the assault weapon laws. What can we do to stop that from happening this time, or is that just the nature of the beast?
Well, you know, Bill, it's kind of akin to a house of cards to me. For example, the Flanagan case, which was ruled individually in the circuit court and by a three-judge panel, and George Young was awarded the victory. In other words, Hawaii's permit scheme to ban the carry of weapons was unlawful and unconstitutional. And then it was reheard in bank, and in bank, the Ninth Circuit said there is no right to carry a weapon, neither openly or concealed, and the Second Amendment doesn't allow the carry of a weapon. I don't know what they think bear means. Well, they probably think bear means what Tim Ramey thinks. The state's expert witness, who, by the way, has never read the United States Constitution in his life, because my attorney asked him directly, what does the Second Amendment say? And he says, well, I can't repeat it verbatim, but it says something about getting a gun and being able to keep it in your house.
Wow. I think even the weakest constitutional knowledge would give you come on.
You know, that's what the state's expert witness said on the record under oath that he thinks the Constitution means. So my attorney asked him, well, are you familiar with the term constitutional carry? And he says, I think I've heard it before. Well, what does that mean to you? And he goes, I don't know.
That's a pretty good witness. I'd like to have him on my team.
Oh, no, he was actually a great witness for us, because in the end she said, do you believe that people have the right to self-defense? Yes, I do, he says. Do you believe that that right applies only in their house? He said, well, no, I don't. She said, do you believe that the right of the individual to defend themselves and their family exists wherever the individual is? Yes, I do believe that. Then why have you never issued a permit to carry in all of your years in law enforcement that you were in a position to issue these permits? Why have you never issued a single one to a civilian who was not a former law enforcement or current law enforcement? Well, because I believe it's bad public policy. Yeah, soak that in for a while. It's bad public policy for you to be able to defend yourself and your family in the event of armed conflict with another person. It's bad public policy. You may die, but the public has a right to feel safe more than you have a right to defend. And I think that statement in itself quantifies how most of the really restrictive states like California conduct their business. And I am very hopeful that this Bruin case will stop that. Now, how does this bear on us? A lot of cases are in the pipe, like Bill said. Mine is one of them. My case has been stayed pending the outcome of the Bruin case. George Young's writ of cert has been stayed pending the outcome of the New York rifle and pistol case. The Duncan 10-round magazine case stayed pending the outcome of New York rifle and pistol. Flanagan stayed. Charles Nichols' case hasn't been stayed, but what the court's doing is just not, they're just not doing anything about it, probably, until Bruin settles. There are so many cases, Miller, Rupp, Flanagan, Duncan, my case, George Young's case. Those cases have all been stayed pending the outcome of the Bruin case. Well, at some point, the Bruin case is going to be published, and then this logjam is going to blow down the river like nobody's business. And the state of California, their scheme to deprive you of your ability to purchase ammunition, use your magazines that you probably have a million of in the closet and don't tell anybody about, the AR-15 that they banned, that case has been stayed pending New York rifle and pistol. Why? Because everyone's waiting to see if Hicks history, text, and tradition, and whether commonly owned items used for lawful purposes by a lot of people are protected under the Second Amendment, and they are. And even California knows that a lot of these things will fall. And I'm sure the legislature will work overtime to try to figure out some other way to take your rights away from you. But at that point, it will be an uphill battle for them, not for us.
So once the Bruin case is heard and settled, does the cases that are pending, do they have to be reheard, or are they just automatically settled at that point?
Well, the cases that are already settled would be remanded. In other words, the plaintiff, like me, would have to bring the case back up and say, hey, well, wait a minute, that was wrongly settled because you did this instead of what the Supreme Court told you to do. So those cases would have to be actually started almost over. They'd have to be reheard. Cases like mine, once the Supreme Court rules, we just submit for a summary judgment. In other words, the state admits they banned the Second Amendment. It's in plain language. They just don't think they're wrong because of the two-step process they use to decide these things. Well, that two-step process is now unconstitutional. And therefore, you need to find for us.
Right. So are they under any time constraints once that case is settled to hear your case and rule on it?
Well, let me give you a little anecdote about that. We submitted for preliminary injunction. In other words, the state of California has banned the Second Amendment. The judge admits that we're likely to succeed on the merits of the case. So we want a judgment right now in favor of the plaintiff, me. And it's been, oh boy, pushing 2 years now, and the judge hasn't even ruled on the preliminary injunction, much less the case itself. So right. The answer to that is a qualified no.
Yeah.
However, there is a point in the chain of events where the weight of these cases will overwhelm even the most recalcitrant and unlawfully acting judges and jurists and a state that acts with impunity with your rights. There will be some point in the chain of events where they have to take action, because you can't stack these cases up 100 deep. Someone, probably us, if they don't rule on this and if they don't grant a summary judgment, will file writs of mandamus. I think that everybody involved in these cases should file writs of mandamus. In other words, you tell the Supreme Court, you tattle on the federal court, and you say they're disobeying your directives, they're disobeying case law, they're disobeying precedent, and they're thumbing their nose at the constitutional process. And you, Supreme Court justices, because every circuit court has a Supreme Court justice that basically oversees that district court. Now, unfortunately for the Ninth Circuit, it's Kagan. But there is even some hope there, because Kagan asked or found it incongruous that the Second Amendment is the only amendment that you have to ask permission to exercise. How do you reconcile that? And New York did not have an answer. Now, a funny story is that Elena Kagan was a buddy of Scalia. They were pals in private. He used to take her shooting and hunting. So she's not a stranger to firearms. She's not a stranger to bird hunting. In fact, she tells stories about going bird hunting with Scalia. So it is not impossible for that gal to rule based on the merits of the law and based on Supreme Court dictate. I think in this case, it's a remote possibility, but it is possible that she could demand the state of California perform. And these writs of mandamus, when they're heard, they have a lot of power because the Supreme Court justices orders a judge to do a certain thing. They will order our judge to do something if they hear the writ. And I think that all of the attorneys in these cases should file these writs and bury them in paperwork.
Yeah, no kidding. That's kind of a...
But the writs of...
It's about time, though, that they did get buried in this. I am curious to know why you think it's taken so long for these suits to come up. I realize it costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of time and all that. Is that just really the holdup?
Well, that's big holdup. I mean, even the statement I just made, we'll file for summary judgment once that case comes out. We'll file our writs, file our briefs. They'll file their briefs opposing our briefs. We'll file briefs opposing their opposition of our briefs. And then at some point, the summary judgment gets to court. Well, that simple statement, and a summary judgment is just that. You don't need to hear any more evidence. There aren't any more witnesses. There aren't any facts to discover. All the facts that we need to know are already in the record. Rule on the case right
now. Just rule on it, yeah.
That statement alone will probably cost us $50,000.
And for that reason,
the paperwork. Yeah,
people should support the lawsuit. So if you care about your Second Amendment rights, you don't have to live in California to support it, because it will it'll absolutely help everybody. And that information is on the website. Make your check out to Pecan, like the nuts. Mail it to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, in Redding, California, 96003. And put Second Amendment lawsuit in the memo section, or add a note, and it'll go to the right spot and help the legal effort. We're going to come right back with our guest, Mark Baird. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us, along with the Commercial Free Archive and ability to sponsor the program, at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Whatever it takes.
Just don't push us the right side to put the giant on the ground.
perfect song for you, Mark.
Yeah, and there are so many good songs out there that kind of covered stuff, aren't there?
Yeah, but it's true. This is kind of the David and Goliath thing. But at the end of the day, because I'm sure lots of people told you, well, don't bother to do that. It'll never work.
Oh, they still tell me that. I mean, I hear that. And when I first brought this lawsuit, people got mad.
Oh.
They actually got mad. What are you doing that for? Why are you wasting your time? You should be spending your time and money on this or spending your time and money on that. And I'm sure you've heard that a million times.
Yeah, I always like it when people decide what you should be doing.
Yeah, I do too. But I have to say, the Second Amendment is near and dear to my heart. I am a former peace officer. I'm a member of the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Posse, which, by the way, is going to have some benefit from this dinner as well. And we are a civilian organization that tries to help our county law enforcement agency in times of trouble. And it would be helpful to us to be able to carry a weapon without worrying about the guys that were helping arresting us or giving us a ticket for doing it. And, you know, so there are so many reasons that the Second Amendment is not only a good idea, but it is your unalienable right given you by your maker. And as William Blackstone says, the only purpose of law is to define the things that are wrong and to command the things that are right. That's the only purpose of the law. And so when the government turns that purpose on its head, the people have to act because we formed government and no one else is going to do it if we don't. And you can't expect one sheriff or one legislator to carry all the water for all the people. The whole purpose of being the people is that we help those we elect to carry the water that we want carried. You know, people say, well, the sheriff, if he's a constitutional sheriff, he ought to do this and he ought to do that. But first of all, there is no such thing as a constitutional sheriff. That's a term that was invented. It's great. It's a great idea. It's a great ideal, but it's just not. It's impossible because no sheriff can buck the system all by himself, and particularly in California, where the law prohibits him from doing that which he may otherwise want to do, but can't do without risking arrest himself. So I think it's important for people to understand that, first of all, law enforcement in this nation and in this state has no duty and no responsibility and no obligation to protect you from crime or violence or anything else for that matter. They could no more protect you from crime than they could protect you from the rain, because they would have to be omniscient and omnipresent to be able to do that, number one. And number two, if they protected Joe Blow but failed to protect Mary Smith, and Mary Smith sued them, and then Jane Doe sued them because they failed to protect her, but they protected somebody across town, that you can see that obviously that wouldn't work. And so in California, and most states have the same laws, in California Government Code 821, 845, and 846, it details how law enforcement is not obligated to protect you, the individual, from anything. They have a general duty to protect society at large, but the duty of a peace officer is to go to the scene of a crime, investigate that crime, and it has to already be a crime for them to be able to investigate it, by the way, and then attempt to apprehend the perpetrator and then turn the perpetrator over to the justice system, who in many cases turns around and lets the perpetrator go the very next day so he can go out and commit another crime. So you can see that even if all 500,000 police officers work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which obviously they can't do, they would not be in a position to protect 400 million people from crime, violence, and anything else that came down the pipe. It's all they can do to do the job that they're doing now, and it's a darn good job in many, many cases, and I totally support that effort, and I support local law enforcement and state law enforcement in the constitutionally approved, lawful duties that they're assigned, and they do a darn good job. But you can't expect them to be everywhere all the time. And there are many, many Supreme Court cases, Warren versus D.C., Ballesteri versus Pacifica Police Department, Riss versus New York, Martinez v. California, Cortez v. Gonzalez, that tell us that the cops have no duty to protect you. The Second Amendment gives you the ability and the unalienable absolute right to protect yourself. The California state's attorney asked me in my deposition, why do you want to have a gun? Why do you need to carry a gun? And my response was, well, you don't get to ask me what I need. That's a question no one gets to ask anyone else. You need what you need because you need it.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you ask me why do I want to carry the gun, and my response is this. I have the absolute unalienable right to do so should I choose to. That was my answer to that question. Because what he's saying is you have unperceived threats. In other words, you're in no danger any more so than the average person is on any given day. And yes, that's all true. However, do you always know when evil is about to present itself? And here's the reason for the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not a commandment. Just because we have the Second Amendment doesn't mean you must carry a gun all the time, no matter where you are, whether you want to or not. What the Second Amendment does is gives you the ability to defend yourself, your family, your friends, your state, your community, your nation, should you choose to do so. And what it also does is it presents the evil that surrounds us with the open question, is that person going to fight back? And when they interviewed prisoners in California state penitentiaries and penitentiaries all over the nation, they asked these guys, these felons, what do you fear the most? An armed victim. That's their answer. Their biggest fear is an armed victim because they have less of a chance to be wolves and kill an unarmed sheep. When the sheep have guns, the wolves have a harder time doing what it is that wolves do. And that's the blessing, the God-given blessing, I believe, of the Second Amendment. It gives you the ability, should you choose to exercise it, to defend yourself, because the police, bless them, no matter how hard they try, may not be in a position to defend you.
Well, and they're spread very thin, and depending on where you are, you're it. I mean, you're it. You can't just stand there. You know, it isn't like some kid's game where in the middle of them, something happening. Okay, everybody stop. We've got to wait for the police to get here. That's just not realistic, and it's not realistic in your house. It's not realistic outside your house. Wasn't realistic while I was walking the dog. If Machete Man had gone off the rails, I'm thinking 2 miniature schnauzers aren't probably going to take him down.
No.
Okay, since one of them's terrified and the other one barks like a squirrel.
But currently, under California's regime, if you're not willing to ask permission of a government agent or actor, who, by the way, has the ability to reject your application without any right of appeal and place any conditions upon that application that he or she so chooses to impose, then you don't have the ability to protect yourself from violence. And even the United States Supreme Court has found again and again and again and again and again that the right of self-defense attaches to the individual wherever the individual may happen to be, and that includes the bearing of arms, which according to Ruth Ginsburg, bearing arms means to wear or carry on your person or in your pocket or clothing any weapon designed for self-defense in the event of conflict with another person. And that's what bearing arms means, according to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So for law enforcement or for the legislature in California to deny you the ability to carry arms to protect yourself is absolutely the height of idiocy. It flies in the face of history and tradition because the state argues that many states enacted prohibitions against the open carry of a loaded weapon. Yeah, but California wasn't one of them. for 200 years under Spanish rule, Mexican rule, United States and United States rule, the state of California, the open carry or the concealed carry of a loaded weapon was largely unremarkable, totally unregulated, and absolutely perfectly fine and perfectly lawful to do. And in fact, California banned the concealed carry of a weapon in 1861 and repealed the ban in 1869 because they figured out that only criminals or only lawful people follow the law and criminals don't.
Yeah, it's funny how they haven't figured that one out yet.
Well, in 1917, the sheriff of Los Angeles County wanted the state legislature to pass a concealed carry ban. Now, see if you can follow this one. This is a tough one. Because he said that Pancho Villa's men were going to sneak across the border with guns down their pants in order to murder Angelenos in their beds. Well, if it's the middle of the night, okay, and everyone's asleep, why are you going to bother to shove your gun down your pants?
Yeah, really?
Exactly.
But the legislature, looking for control of its population, California's legislature is always looking for a way to control the population that invented the government, by the way. And so they went for that and bought it. And in 1917, the ban on concealed carry without government permission stuck. But it was the most frivolous of premises that got that enacted. It is the most frivolous of premises that got the ban on the open carry of unloaded guns past the legislature. Portantino, you don't need a gun to go buy a cheeseburger. Well, I just read an account of a guy in Alabama that was in McDonald's ordering a cheeseburger with his kid, and he stopped a mass murderer because he had his own gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
well, see, that's the
you
thing.
Do need there a gun are, when you buy a cheeseburger.
Yeah, there are people who think that you don't quote need that, but it's funny. I know we're down in the last couple of minutes here, but you know, my mom was terrified of guns, knew nothing about them, was afraid of them, thought guns kill people, the whole thing. And we used to have conversations about that. And we were at my niece's wedding and walking along. It was at night, and you know, my mom would always say, "Honey, I don't know why you have to carry a gun." You know, she just thought that was weird. And here we're walking along, my two nieces and my mom, and there were some kind of sketchy people. And my niece said, "Gee, Graham, I don't know if we should be here or not." And my mom leans over, doesn't miss a beat, and she says, "Don't worry, honey. Auntie Erin has a gun."
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And I was like, I guess it's not all bad after all, is it, Mom? It was pretty funny, though.
There you go. And in the end, according to statistics, hundreds of thousands of times a year, the mere presentation of the firearm will stop the crime. I mean, it is far more common for the presentation of the firearm to stop the crime, and the firearm never has to be used. And then the end of the conversation is, I have lots of guns. I like them. They're my hobby. I think they're fun. I like to build them. I like to shoot them. And I like to just have them. And I have never once had one of those guns fire itself.
Yeah, creep out of its box and come after you. Well,
exactly.
There are just a lot of misnomers. But, you know, honestly, in places like Shasta and Siskiyou counties where we have huge numbers of people who are armed, it's interesting our crime rate isn't soaring like it is in L.A. That could be something.
Funny.
Hey, Mark,
we are
out of time yet again, of course. But we have loved having you on. We want updates on the lawsuit as time goes on. We hope people will support the event. It's at the end of January here. We're talking the 2nd of January, so you've got time to get involved. Please go to the website and support the effort.
29th
or go.
January.
It's the 29th of January. You can find that at WePeopleRadio.us.
Thanks, Mark.
You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on the string. Compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.